the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 9. We were dealing with a man in the Bible named Jairus, and about his actions concerning his daughter's affliction. And the first two, or I don't remember now how many times we preached on, I know two for sure, maybe three. We didn't even have a title. We had a message, but we didn't really have a title. The more I've studied on it and the more I've thought about it, I believe we need to title this message, Getting Help from God for Others. That's what an intercessor is. That's what a person that's involved in intercessory prayer is doing. They are involving themselves in another person's life, many times without a request, without an invitation, and you in prayer is making somebody else's problems your business to pray about. Sometimes we make other people's problems our business to gossip about, but that don't ever help anything. But an intercessor, and everybody that's saved has that potential of being a person of intercessory prayer. There ought to be a lot of things that's accomplished in the kingdom of God just because somebody prayed about it. Somebody prayed about it. Probably one of the greatest examples, I guess, I've ever read about is George Mueller, that ran by faith all of those orphanages. In his diary, he kept a prayer diary, and he recorded over 50,000 specific answers to prayer. It's one thing to pray, but do you ever see an answer? Prayers that continually are prayed and there's no answer, there may be a problem with it. There may be a problem with us. There may be we're praying wrong, whatever, but 50,000 answers to prayer where prayers were prayed specifically. See, if you pray in general, you don't know if it was answered or not. You don't know if your prayer was answered. If you just bless all the sick, you know, or heal all the sick and save all the sinners, you know, that's general praying. But when you pray specifically, as George Mueller did, then when that prayer was answered, he knew God answered his prayer. And that diary went on to say, not only was there over 50,000 specific answers to prayer that he recorded, but also it went on to say that there was 30,000 of those prayers, 30,000 of those 50,000, that was answered within the hour, or at the most within 24 hours from the time he prayed. I believe the church, if it's ever going to be what it needs to be spiritually and powerfully and effectively, it's going to have to come through our praying and taking our prayer life to a whole nother level. When carnality comes in, spirituality goes out. We all know that if we're saved and we've been saved long enough. We've seen that in our own life. When carnality or the flesh gets in the driver's seat, it's not long till the spirituality goes out the window. And when that happens, praying usually goes with it because that is a spiritual thing. Reading your Bible normally goes with it. Worship goes with it. Sanctification goes with it. Separation goes with it. Pretty much everything goes with it. Amen. Tithing, giving to missions, you know, whatever you want to say, it goes with it. Church attendance, church faithfulness, right on down the line. When the flesh gets in the driver's seat, carnality's in control, and that is all about the flesh. But anyway, we've been dealing with the man by the name of Jairus, and Luke chapter number 9, felt like the Lord would have us to go back to him this morning and just dig around there in that a little bit more. The Bible says in chapter 8 of Luke, verse number 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. I believe that one statement right there shows us the desperation in this matter. I believe it shows us that time is of the essence, that intervention is needed quickly, and nothing short of a divine intervention is going to do the job. That's what will encourage you to pray, is when you realize that that's the only hope. That encourage you to pray for other people, to pray intercessory prayers for other people, going and getting help from God for other people. That's what an intercessor is. And Jairus exemplifies what an intercessor is. What would happen at RBT if all of us would be given to that ministry? God calls specific men to preach. I understand that. God has enabled certain ones to sing and certain ones to teach. But I can't help but believe that God has called all of his people to prayer. I believe all of, and listen, there's a lot of things that's been done through preaching, but there's been more things done through praying than there has been done through preaching. No doubt. In fact, they're not two separate things. They work together as a team. If you have preaching in connection with a lot of praying, it's going to be effective, and we have Acts chapter 2 to illustrate that. There was 10 days of prayer, unity, one mind, one accord by 120 people, both men and women, and they spent that time with the Lord in prayer, and the Spirit of God came in Acts chapter 2. And guess what happened? Peter preached one message. He just preached one message, very basic message, preached one message, and 3,000 people were saved, baptized, and added to the church. You say, what was it, powerful preaching? Or was it powerful praying? Or was it both? Amen. There's not really going to be a powerful preaching unless there's powerful praying. Amen. I can usually tell what kind of service we're going to have by the prayer room downstairs. I can usually tell if there's great liberty to pray, or if we have prayer up here in the altar. I can tell if there's great liberty to pray if it's tight, and about 30 seconds you hear people going back to their seat. You know it's going to be an uphill pull usually in the house of the Lord. Your flesh doesn't want to pray. Mine doesn't. I promise you that. Your flesh don't wake you up in the morning and say, you need to go spend some time with the Lord. Your flesh will say, no, you need to check your emails. You need to check your texts. You need to see what's the latest on Fox News and what's going on in the political arena and who said what and who's doing what. And before you know it, half of your day's gone and your mind is already gone. Your mind is already... Listen, I tell you, a lot of times it was the case this morning. Before I even put my feet on the floor, God was ministering to my heart about this passage of Scripture and feeding my soul. And I've learned from experience that if I don't pay attention to that and jot some things down while that's happening, oh, I'll do that later, Lord. Right now I'm working on getting up. I'm trying to work on waking up. If I wait till later, a lot of those what I call gems that God wants to give me, they're gone. Amen. When your mind is in gear, the Spirit of God has got your mind in gear about a verse of Scripture or a thought. Amen. You need to squeeze every bit of that out while you can, because it may be a while before that can be refreshed in your heart and in your mind. But in Luke chapter number 9, I don't even know where we got to. Oh, I do. Verse 42, she lay a dying. Very, very serious matter. Why was Jairus serious? Because his daughter was in a serious condition. I think that's behind prayerlessness, is we don't view people as really being serious, really needing prayer. Amen. And the one that knew the daughter best was the daddy of the house. And of course, that falls on us as men and fathers that, listen, we ought to make sure we've got a spiritual assessing eye over our family. We should be able to know when there's error, when there's decline, when there's spiritual disinterest, when there's becoming an interest toward carnal things. the daddy of the house ought to be the first one to notice. And not just the daddy of the house, but the mama of the house ought to be involved in that assessment. You ought to know when the devil's trying to work in your home. Amen. You ought to know that with your marriage. You ought to know that with your spouse. You ought to know that with your children. When the devil's at work. And what is your result? What is your response to that? What is your response to that? Jairus, his response was, I'm going to get Jesus. I'm going to get help for somebody else from the Lord. Amen. There is help in the Lord for other people. And that's help that can be had only when somebody goes and gets it. You have to agree with me that reading this passage of Scripture, and it's in Matthew, Mark, and also the Gospel of Luke, reading this passage of Scripture, you'd have to agree with me that had not Jairus went to Jesus and got Jesus, that daughter would not only have died, but she would have stayed dead, and she'd be dead to this day. Jesus got involved with intervening, interrupting power because there was a man that wanted to be an intercessor and go on behalf of someone else and get help from Jesus for somebody else. And that's what prayer does. That's what intercessory prayer does. Amen. We have missionaries we support. They need desperately to be prayed for. I fail in that. I fail in that area. Our church fails in that. There's no doubt about that, that there's numerous ones of our missionaries that doesn't get prayed for weekly and probably not even monthly and maybe not even yearly. And they're out there on the battlefield. They're out there fighting a warfare that you and I maybe are not fighting here in the States. Amen. And so they need to be prayed for. I just mentioned that because, and then we have other things. We have, you know, we have our youth camp, BBS. We have various outreaches, you know, that needs prayer. And we read, I don't know if you've heard about it or not, but last Sunday night we read, I don't know where that letter's at. Let's see right here. Let's see if this is it. Anyway, we had a letter from across the street from our jail bags. And this fellow that wrote to us, and I'm not going to reread it, but that fellow that wrote that to us, listen, is serving life sentence. Now, he said in his letter he's not going to get out. But we took jail bags, RBT, took jail bags over there, had tracks and candy or whatever in it, different things. And as a result of that, that man that it was that's serving life sentence, guilty of murder from what I understand, $10 million bond to get him out, which he will never get out. But he got saved as a result of what the Lord did through our church. How many agrees he needs prayer? You think somebody's going to need prayer that knows I'm never going to get out? Never going to get out. I'm looking to live my rest of my life behind bars. I'm pointing out that I could mention any ministry we have in any direction you look, and I could point out there are desperate need of people needing to be prayed for. Amen. And so we find here that this was a situation that very desperate. And the Bible said, but as he went, finishing up verse 42, but as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Come behind and touch the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitudes throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him all before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, and I don't have time to preach on that, But that's the exact same word that Jairus identified his daughter with, used the same word, daughter. That's a family term, but it's also a term of intimacy. Amen. And this lady here wasn't a physical daughter, wasn't in the family physically, but her faith put her in. Well, all of us Gentiles could say that. Amen. That once were Gentiles. The Bible said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Well, that's a different level, isn't it? Verse number 42, she lay a dying, but now she's got the report. They got the report, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. No need to pray about it anymore. No need to be concerned with it anymore. It's over. It's hopeless. It's irreversible. It's too far gone. Trouble not the master. That's what unbelief speaks. Amen. But verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, Jesus heard that. Here's what he said. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only. Believe only. Don't listen to what you're listening to. Don't go off of what other people are saying. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother. That's the those that went in with him. There was, three, four, five, six of them total, counting Jesus, that went in to see the daughter. And all wept and bewailed her, and he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. He put them all out. I like that statement. He put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose. And straightway he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, and he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Getting help from God for other people. Everybody needs to be involved in that. But you're not going to be interested in getting help from God for other people if you're just not interested in people getting help, period. And so we pointed out a few things in previous messages on this. We started where it all begins. Number one, there's got to be a detected problem. You're not going to pray about what's not a problem. You're not going to pray about what you do not view as an issue, whether it's in your own personal life, your family, or someone you care about. And I believe we need a revival of that. We need a revival of care of other people. We need a revival of love for other people. I'm talking about people maybe that you don't even know. How many times we get a prayer request? I get them daily. I get prayer requests daily sent to me in a text or whatever. Pray for my, and it could be someone in their family. It could be, whatever. This morning, Miss Hope Turner sent a text to me to pray for her mama that they were en route as she was typing that and sending that to me. They were en route to the ER with her mamaw. And we could just write that off, and we could just, so what? Okay, it's not my mamaw. I'm not the one en route. But I bowed my head before I responded, and I bowed my head in sincerity of my heart, and I prayed for her. I prayed for that lady in whatever's going on in her life, that the Lord would help her and touch her. And then I responded to Miss Hope, and I said, tell your grandma that Preacher Ackley prayed for her already this morning. We ought to take that serious. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Samuel said, if you've asked me to pray, and in that text he was asked to pray, and he didn't pray, he viewed that as sin. Amen. We ought to have confidence in prayer. Listen, you know why a lot of times we don't pray for other people? Is we don't really have confidence. One, we don't have care. We don't care about other people the way we should. If you don't care enough to pray, what does that say about how much you care? Isn't that right? Someone said it this way. Said it, people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. Isn't that right? We need to pray. The Lord help us to be more selfless, to where when there's needs of other people, we could at least pray for them, and pray for them with our heart in it. Pray for them with our mind in it. Pray for them with our sincerity involved. Instead of just, okay, I was asked to pray, Lord bless John Doe, you know what's going on with him. And it'd be as heartless and burdenless as it possibly can be. Intercessory prayer is getting help from God for other people. What is God, I'm asking me too, what has God done for other people because you prayed? I believe the devil wants us to be powerless in our praying. He don't care for us to perform. He doesn't care for us to go through, you know, and say, well, we prayed. But to pray believing, pray expectantly, pray specifically. You know, pray because I would want somebody to pray for me if I was the one being taken to the ER this morning. If I sent out a text or my wife sent out a text, pray for us. We're en route now to the ER with Preacher Rackley. I wonder how many of us would pray about that. Don't answer that. I hope everybody would. Oh, that's our preacher. We're going to pray. We're going to get a hold of God. You know, well, that ought to be true about it. A fellow church member. The ERBT was sent out, and so-and-so's is deathly sick and needs prayer, amen, or going through this or that. And whoever sends those ERBTs out in prayer about a prayer need, they ought to have confidence, and they ought to have an assurance in their heart that my church family is going to represent us in this need at the throne of grace in prayer. Amen. You can't gauge a church by how loud they shout. You can't gauge their spirituality by how loud they shout, or if they shout, or if they don't shout. Are y'all listening? I like it. I do it. I pour gas on that fire if it's real. I hate wildfire as much as I hate no fire. And we don't have to be satisfied with neither one, Brother Fultz. We don't have to be satisfied with deadness, nor do we have to be satisfied with some emotional, stirred up, pumped up, stuff. We don't have to be satisfied with neither. Brother Henry, we have real fire. We can be like Elijah that prayed and the fire came. The fire fell. He prayed and it rained not for 3.5 years. He prayed again and it rained. God turned hearts of thousands and thousands and thousands of people and turned the hearts of a nation away from Baal unto God because one man could pray effectively. And James tells us in James, the epistle of James chapter 5, that we are subject to like passions as him. We all say, well, it was Elijah. Of course he can pray 63 words and the fire will fall. Of course he can pray and it won't rain or any dew come for 3.5 years. Of course Elijah can pray and it rain again, and all of that. And people turn to God and confess the Lord. He is God. Yes, Elijah can pray that. But James was careful to pin it down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he was subject to like passions as we are. That is, he's made of the same stuff we're made of. If he could pray powerfully and effectively and fruitfully, you and I could pray that way. Amen. That's good, ain't it? Lord, help us. We need a stirring about it. We have lost people in our church every service. I don't know if we ever have a service that we don't have lost people in our midst. I'm talking about lost people by their own confession, their own profession. They're not saved. I wonder how much of a burden has fallen upon us to pray earnestly for them. I wonder, listen, I'm just being honest. We have a bunch of children here, several children here that are not saved as yet. I wonder how much of a burden we have upon that. I wonder if any of us are involved in intercessory prayer of going to Jesus in behalf of someone else because we care about them. We don't want them to go to hell. It means something to us for them to get saved. And it's a burden to us for them to not be saved. And we are going to bombard the throne of grace in their behalf. Intercessory prayer gets help from God for other people. Or how many of us praying for these children? Well, hopefully maybe they'll get saved one day. That's real nonchalant, isn't it? That just heartless, isn't it? Amen. If I were to ask this morning how many of us are saved, it'd be most of us in here raise our hand. And you know what? If somebody hadn't have prayed for you, I mean, got serious about your soul because you weren't serious about your soul. I wasn't serious about my soul. I was playing the fool, and I was on the broad road, headed for destruction, wide open, Brother Klepper. But if somebody hadn't got serious in my behalf when I was being stupid, and that one main one that sticks out, not the only one, but my mama, listen, labored in prayer in my behalf. She wasn't going to tolerate even the thought that her son was going to hell. She wasn't going to accept that. Absolutely not. If I went to hell, it was not going to be because she gave up on me and she didn't try and she didn't pray. Amen. I want to tell you, God stirred my mama with I'm not going to have it any other way than my son gets saved by the grace of God. And I didn't get saved because I was doing a lot of praying. I got saved because somebody else was doing a lot of praying in my behalf. Most of us in this building, if you'd have took out a few key people in your life, whether it be a mama, a grandma, a grandpa, uncle, cousin, preacher, Sunday school teacher, neighbor, whatever, if you took a few key people out, Brother Jonathan, people that prayed, people that could get a hold of God, and took them out of our lives, probably none of us in here would be saved still yet. Amen. With that being said, Miss Candy, what I mean by that is this. Somebody prayed and got help from God and moved God in your direction. Moved God on your path. Moved God on your trail. Amen. Brother Henry, ain't no doubt that you and Miss Vicky has spent many hundreds of hours before the throne of grace for your family and for your grandchildren. And for other people, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. Oh, Lord, I believe if we're dropping the ball anywhere, and we're dropping the ball, that's one area, is that we are not involved in intercessory prayer. Intercessor praying is not self-praying. There's a difference between supplication and intercession. Yes, you ought to pray for yourself. And yes, there's people in the Bible that went to Jesus themselves and got help for themselves. The leper came running to Jesus and falling down said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Yeah, it was individuals that there's many of them. There's several of them. And listen, you're responsible for your own life as well. When you have a need, don't depend on somebody else to pray. Ask them to pray. Hope they pray. Amen. But listen, you ought to go make your move to Christ and get help from the Lord personally. There is supplication taught in the Bible. There is personal prayer and personal interest. The woman right here in the text that interrupted the trip, the woman with the issue of blood that came as Jairus was bringing Jesus to the house, time was of the essence. The daughter was laying dying, and she could die at any second. But all of a sudden, here's this woman involved in the story. And she, looking at it from a human perspective, was stalling the work of God, keeping Jesus from getting to the daughter. But what was she doing? It was an individual that was so consumed with, "I'm going to get to Jesus. I don't care who's in the crowd." You know, she came, they were thronging Jesus. Listen, That woman didn't care who was in the crowd, how many was in the crowd, what big name was in the crowd, what city official was in the crowd, what church member was in the crowd. She didn't care. She had one thing on her mind. I'm dying. I don't have long to live, and I need to get help from the only one that can help me, and his name is Jesus. And she made her way, and the Bible said she pressed through the crowd and got the help that she needed. Yes, friend, that is taught in the Bible and illustrated several times that you need to pray for yourself. You need to be able to get a hold of God yourself. You need to get some, amen, amen. But intercessory prayer is also taught in the Bible. And that's not selfish. Intercessory prayer is not for yourself. Intercessory prayer is when you get concerned about somebody else's situation, somebody else's need, even if they're not concerned about it. Do you see this daughter asking daddy to go get Jesus? Do y'all see it? The daughter never gave a request. The daughter said, daddy, would you please go get Jesus? None of that. But the intercessor don't wait for a request. An intercessor, a real biblical, spiritual, spirit-filled intercessor doesn't have to be notified with a text or email. They notice when somebody's missing in church. They notice when they're not in Sunday school. They notice when they see that decline. And I am disturbed by some of that I'm noticing myself. Are you listening? And I'm going to the Lord in prayer in behalf of what I'm noticing. Amen. Amen. And I'm praying God to work on the ones I've been praying for. I'm praying God to work on them. Amen. Work in their heart. I don't want to see them just continue to drift and continue to decline. I want to see God work in their heart. Amen. I, for one, am not willing to give up on RBT. And I know that if we get at ease in Zion, I'm going to preach on that here in a few days. If we get at ease in Zion, I know the devil can creep in. He can slip in. If he can catch us asleep. Those servants, while they were asleep, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. What if they hadn't have been asleep? What if they'd have been alert? What if they'd have been on guard? The enemy could not have sown the tares among the wheat. The devil wants us to get laxed, and he wants us to get lazy. He wants us to get, distracted with other things so that he can slip in on the blind side and do damage in our home and do damage in our church and do damage in our youth group and do damage in our ministry. Amen. This is no time to see what you can get away with. Are you listening? This is no time to be trying to see how far away you can get and slip around and sneak around. You'll get caught. Be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. And be sure your sins will find you out. Find you out means it will have a resurrection on you. You may bury it. You may think you got it dug and hid. You may think it's in secret and nobody knows about it. I promise you, you ain't smart enough to keep it hid. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to slip up, and somebody's going to know. Somebody's going to hear. Somebody's going to see. Are you listening? Amen. We need to be serious about the needs of other people. We need to be involved in intercessory prayer. What is intercessory prayer? Getting help from God for other people. Y'all listening? That's what intercessory prayer is. If we're going to be effective, it's first going to be in the prayer room, prayer closet, prayer time. And if I know I can testify about it, but I'm sure others can as well. If the devil's going to fight anything in your life, it's going to be in your praying. Because he don't want you to pray. He don't care if you read your Bible even. Just don't pray. Because you can read your Bible and be 100 miles from God. You can go to church and be distant from the Lord. But if you are If you are praying, you can't do much of that distant. You got to be close. You got to be intimate. Anyway, let's look right here just quickly. We talked about a detected problem, a disturbed passion. Jairus didn't only detect the problem, but he was disturbed over it. He was broken and burdened about the need. And I want you to get this. Jesus responded to the daddy before he ever reached out to the daughter. Why should I be an intercessor? Why should we be involved in intercessory prayer? It's because in this text, the daddy's illustrating what intercessory prayer is. And guess what? Guess what he did? He went to Jesus in behalf of the need. Jesus responded to him. He responded to the burden he had. He responded to the belief that he had. Oh, if you'll just only come and lay your hand on her, she'll live and she'll be made whole. Jesus responded to the daddy or to the intercessor, his belief and his burden and his brokenness and his urgency before he ever reached out to the daughter. How am I going to know, Brother Aaron, that God's going to reach out and touch those that I'm praying for? Is if he's responding to me. If he's responding to me. He responded with a disturbed passion. And then there was a declining process we covered. The daughter was getting worse and worse. She was getting, daily, moment by moment, she was dying. Is that not right? She was dying, wasn't she? Guess what? Bible said she did die. Brother Scott, she was getting worse and worse. Everybody agree with that? The path of sin is never better and better. It's always worse and worse. Anything to do with sin never gets better on its own. It never cures itself. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. In fact, the woman with the issue of blood that's also in this passage, it stated on, in another one of the accounts that she got worse and worse. She spent all she had, all many physicians and all of that. Great effort was made, but guess what happened? She got worse and worse. That's the path of sin. That's just anything to do with sin. It never fixes itself. It never fixes itself. Never fixes itself. Watch this. I think this is very important. We already pointed that out, was that when she was getting worse and worse, mom and daddy wasn't getting worse and worse. When she was getting worse and worse, mom and daddy didn't, they weren't dying with her. You can't help your children if you're in the same shape they're in. You can't help other people if you're in the same shape they're in. An intercessory, a person that's praying intercessory prayer, getting help from God for other people, you've got to be in a shape different than the one you're praying about. You can't pray about somebody else if they're in the same shape you're in. So we saw that. And then there was a determined progress. The daddy was determined that he was going to go get Jesus, that he was going to get right with the Lord, whatever he needed to do to be pray effectively. There was a driving priority. The daddy was not passive or tolerant. He didn't treat it as something minor. He looked at it as something major. You know why I think we're guilty of not praying intercessory praying? Is because we don't look at the request that we're praying about, the people we're praying about. We don't look at that in sincerity. We don't look at that with urgency. We don't make that a priority. Let me ask you, do you think this daddy would have went and got Jesus if his daughter and the need had not been a priority? If he was passive, he would have kept putting it off and kept putting it off, and well, she'll get better soon, and you know. No, it was a priority, a driving priority, a desperate praying. He prayed desperately. He prayed desperately. What's involved in praying desperately? When he realized no intercession, no intervention. That's a good statement. That's why you and I ought to be given intercessory prayer, getting help from others or from God for other people, is that we need to realize that if we don't pray, God probably won't work. And we've already admitted this morning that Jairus, if he hadn't went and got Jesus, there would have been no intervention. He prayed desperately. Amen. Jesus knew every detail about that daughter because he knows everything. But he still did not go until Jairus came and got Jesus. We all know, we can know details about other people's problems, but Jesus is not going to work until we get involved. So praying desperately involves this, these three things: involvement of the intercessor. Listen, you can involve yourself in other people's lives and burdens and needs without them asking. You can pray for people that you don't even know. You can pray for people that's not said anything to you about what a need is in their life. And when you're praying intercessory prayer, guess what's happening? You're involving yourself in somebody else. You're involving yourself in that situation. That in itself is against selfishness, isn't it? That's right. There's involvement. Amen? Through intercession, you can get involved in people's lives, even without permission. Nobody can tell you, don't pray for me. Somebody could hold you at gunpoint and say, if you pray for me, I'll kill you. And you could pray for them, and they not even know it. Amen. It not only includes an involvement of the intercessor, but also the intimacy of the intercessor. The intercessor in Matthew 9 and 18 said, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshiped him. There's got to be intercession. How many's paying attention to the preacher this morning? I'm seeing people looking all around the building like, what, we're just biding our time till he's done. I'm preaching what's trying to help us this morning. I'm preaching what I know needs to be preached here. We need to be involved in that, amen? So there's intimacy that's involved. Intimacy, one, you got to be intimate with the Lord. Jairus came to Jesus and fell down and worshiped him. A lack of intimacy with the Lord is a killer of intercessor praying. Oh, you can pray, you can mention their name, you can mention their need, but nothing will be done because we're leaving out the intimacy. Even the model prayer that we've heard ever since we was little tots. Our Father which art in heaven, listen, hallowed be thy name. Before there was even give me this day our daily bread and all of the specifics, Brother Fultz, there was that intimacy of adoration. Fell down and worshiped him. The word worship means adored him. We're wanting Jesus to make a big deal about whatever it is we're praying about when we don't make a big deal about the one we're praying to. So it involves intimacy. Not just involvement, but intimacy. Oh, yes. He was close to the Savior, and he was also close to the daughter. And both of those two angles of intimacy are necessary. If I'm going to be effective as an intercessor praying with Jesus, I'm going to have to be close to him. I'm going to have to be close to him. But if I'm going to pray for this need right here and really pray with my heart in it, I'm going to have to be close to that. The devil wants distance between those you're praying about where it's just casual and really not sincere. And he also wants you to be distant from the Lord and not pray with your heart in it to the Lord. Look at this. I could say more about that. The ingredient, not only the involvement, intimacy, but the ingredients of an intercessor. You know that Jairus did not even go to Jesus with a verse? He didn't even have a Bible. He couldn't go to, you know, Galatians chapter 2 or Ephesians 5 or he didn't have a Bible. He didn't even go to Jesus with a verse. He went with a desire. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have them. Yes, there's things in our Bible that are specific that we can claim, that we can pray. And I believe it's a powerful way of praying to pray verses. Lord, you said thus and so. Lord, you said if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and so on. But Brother Klepper, there's going to be things that I need to intercede about and pray about that are there's not really a wrote out verse on it. So what should be in the leadership position of what I'm supposed to pray about? My desire. The Lord said He'd give you desires of your heart. We may not have a verse that says, pray about this matter this way or that way. But then how are we supposed to know how to pray in that regard? What is it that you're wanting? What is it? What's your desire about that matter? I mean, make sure it's not a fleshly desire. Make sure it's not a selfish desire, as James talks about. You ask and you receive not. You know, and he said the reason you didn't receive was because you wanted to consume it upon your own lust. In other words, you looked at self-benefit and self-promotion as a reason. But if you look and you say, as far as I know, Lord, I'm not wanting this for any wrong reason. I'm wanting this that you would be glorified and we'll praise you. We'll give you the credit. We'll give you the honor. What should lead me to pray in my praying intercessorily is my desire. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, we have the petition that we desired of Him. What's the ingredients of an intercessor? He didn't even have a verse. I just wrote this down. What's involved, not only that, he didn't have a verse, but he couldn't go to Jesus and say, well, you said. But he went to Jesus anyway with a need. How many people in the Bible came to Jesus and Jesus helped them and they never had no verse? In fact, the Syrophoenician woman came and petitioned her burden to the Lord, and the Lord never even answered her a word. The Lord answered her not a word, the Bible said. And she was a reject. She was a Gentile. And then Jesus said, is it not meat? Is it meat that we should give, how was that, the bread to the dogs or whatever? Or what belongs to the children to the dogs? In other words, is it meat that we should give to you, a reject, what should be given to the Jews? And she could have got mad and got the poochy lip and all of that. You know what she said? She responded real quick, yes, Lord. But I'll take the crumbs that fall down under the table. I'm willing to just get what the dog's portion might be. And you know what? Though that she didn't have a verse, hey man, I'm feeling something right there. Even though she didn't have a verse, you know what? And it looked like Jesus was rejecting her, didn't answer a word. But she said, Lord, I don't want the main meal. I'm willing to have a dog's portion. And God, Jesus Christ, was stirred with that woman's heart and that woman's desire and that woman's, desperation. And she got help. God said, I ain't seen faith like this in all of Israel. I'm telling you, friend, we can get some help for ourselves. We can get some help from God. But you will not without a desire. Here's something else. He went with a priority. Amen. Jesus didn't move till the daddy moved first. Things will happen in prayer when it matters to us how others are doing. Amen. I want to encourage you, moms, dads, siblings, if you've got lost people in your family, that you get under a burden and you are to make a vow to God, there'll not be a day come in my life that I do not pray and name them. I mean, don't just, Lord, bless my family and Lord, save, name them. Amen. Get a burden to pray. If you have a lost spouse or whatever, pray, get a burden to pray over that spouse. Pray for them by name. Amen. Amen. If you only pray for something every once in a while, and usually if it's an every once in a while, most of the time it's more of the while. It's more drug addict. Amen. If you pray just every once in a while for a need or for a request, listen, you have to look at a list for it to come on your mind and your heart. Listen, that shows that we've got a problem with a lack of heart. It's getting that time of the year where we're mentioning youth camp a lot. Do you think that it's good for us to get a burden for churches that's coming from South Carolina and North Carolina and Tennessee and Georgia and everywhere else? Amen. Coming to our youth camp. Do you think it'd be pleasing to God for us to take and pray a week of prayer or ever how we're going to do that this year? And we can't even have a burden to pray for our own lost kids right here in this church. You think I could pray for Sister So-and-so coming from First Baptist Conestee, or I could pray for so-and-so that's coming from Morning Star, if I could pray for so-and-so that's coming from Roanoke, if I could pray for so-and-so that's coming from this church, that church, and another church, but yet we've got lost people right here in our church. One breath away from hell. Amen. You can believe it, friend. I am not ever going to overlook our dead services. If you don't like it, you're just going to have to lump it. Because I know nobody gets saved. Your children will not get saved in a dead service, in a dead church. And I get up and it's embarrassing to me to draw attention to our church. Amen. A while ago said, if somebody died that I didn't know about, it's embarrassing to make statements like that. Amen. But I'm not going to overlook it. As long as I'm here, I'm not going to overlook it. If we're not where we need to be in a course of action, or if we're not where we need to be in one service, I'm not going to overlook that. That's why we're in the mess we're in now in churches across the country, is because preachers have overlooked it and they've had their feet put to the fire by deacon boards and mouthy women, amen, and putting the pressure on them that if you say something, we're going to leave. I don't know why I'm interjecting this right here, unless it's maybe just for my own heart. I am not for sale to this church or to anybody's church. Amen. That's right. And I don't say that in a wrong spirit. I don't say that bragging or boasting, trying to be tough. I'm not saying, I'm just saying that I'm not going to overlook it. We didn't get from where we were, 13 people there the first Sunday morning we was here, dead as 4 o'clock because they were so discouraged and beat down and beat up from just a series of things that had happened. Listen, we didn't go through all of that we've been through. And we've been through it. We've been through the fire. We've been hurt. Our church has been disappointed so many times. But what did we do? We just kept on preaching. Kept on praying. Opening the doors and turning the lights on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Jubilee. Quitting's not an option. Are you listening? And I can say this, Brother Henry, and not have any kind of a bragging heart. This, I believe I can say it right. I led the way through all that. You didn't see a preacher quitting. You didn't see Preacher Ackley throwing in the towel and saying, you know what? Church down the road got greener grass and better offer. And you didn't see none of that. I didn't come to get out. I come knowing that if you're going to do anything for the Lord, it's going to be a fight and a battle, and there's going to be uphills, and there's going to be downhills, and there's going to be valleys. And I'm still here. And my heart's still here. Because if my heart wasn't here, I wouldn't care how you done. If you come or didn't come, I'd get up and go through my little sermonette, preach a little shouting stuff, a little little glory stuff, never preach nothing negative. But I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. What would happen if our church was given to be what if our church was known? What is our church known for? If you go around Rogersville or around in the religious circles that knows our church and knows, and these people knows me, I don't even know. And that don't go to my head. When I preached in that Christian school the other morning, they didn't even get to have class afterwards. They were lined up. I was sitting back on the back row. And they were lined up all the way down the aisle, all across the front and around, waiting just to get me to sign their Bible. Boy, I thought every one of them little girls come by, every one of them boys come by. I thought, boy, if you only knew where I come from. God's been good to me. Amen. We don't know how we got on all that. He went with a priority. Jesus didn't move till the daddy moved. He went with faith and confidence. He went with a sense of urgency and burden. He didn't just go to Jesus, but he got Jesus. That's a part of desperate praying. He goes to Jesus. The second step, he gets Jesus. You can go to Jesus without getting him. You know what that means? Jairus was not willing to leave Jesus' presence until Jesus said, I'm coming, lead. So he goes and gets Jesus. Secondly, he goes to Jesus. Secondly, he gets Jesus. And thirdly, he guides Jesus. Matthew's account of this in chapter 9, verse 19, Jesus rose and followed him. You know why Jesus showed up at Jairus' house? He followed the intercessor there. He followed the one that was interceding there. Amen. Jesus follows intercessors. Jesus responded to the condition of the daddy before he ever responded to the condition of the daughter. Jesus responded to the daddy's passion and persuasion before he responded to the daughter's problem. Jesus was moved by the daddy before moving toward the daughter. The daddy's intercessory prayer gives Jesus direction before Jesus ever gave deliverance. And there's a lot of other things, my goodness. Let's all stand. Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, that you'll break in on us, that you'll stir our hearts, that we'll not be content with just going to church, that we'll not be content, Lord, with just going through the motions. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help us, that we'll get a burden about being an intercessor, praying intercessorily, making it a priority, and pray from our heart about the needs of others. Lord, may people in this church building today that's got lost family members. Lord, I pray that they either in their pew or in the altar would say, Lord, by the grace of God, I'm making a vow that there's not going to a day come and go in my life that I don't get before the throne of grace with my heart, my faith, my desire, and pray for my children and pray for my spouse, pray for my mama and my daddy. Whatever the case is, God help us, Lord, to know there's lost children in our church. And I wonder what efforts are being made by this church body to pray God on their life, to get God on their trail. I know mamas and daddies ought to lead the way for that in their children. But we as a church family ought to be involved, helping to bear that load. My son is saved. And a lot of the families here can look at their children and say, my children are saved. But that ought to stir us to want that for other people, that their children be saved. Lord, I'm asking you to stir us up about becoming intercessors. That God, we'd be stirred up about going and getting help from God for other people. We ought to have that effectiveness in prayer. Lord, I'm asking you that you'd have your way, Lord. And Lord, I'm asking you for me. I'm asking you to help me. I'm asking you to stir me.